What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogenmeyer. We are three writers from San Diego Sports Domination who started covering the Chargers 4 seasons ago and have been doing a weekly Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. This is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, on today's show, we are going to be getting into what we always do on the Tuesday after the game, and that is getting into what went wrong and what went right in the game. So a lot to talk about, from the big coaching mistakes, players not executing, and much more in the what went wrong segment. And then we'll finish it up by talking about some things that went right for the Chargers on Sunday. And there were actually a few things to talk about there as well. But we're going to start with the news that one of the Chargers games in week 15 against the Minnesota Vikings just got flexed. We're going to be talking about that, as well as just Anthony Lynn's latest press conference and the message that he has for his team going into the last 4 games, or quarter of a season, as he likes to put it, with the team basically out of the playoff race. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogenmeyer. The news of the day is that the Chargers' Week 15 game against the Minnesota Vikings has now been flexed into an afternoon slot after originally being the Sunday night football matchup for NBC. So now the Bills-Steelers game in Week 15 is going to be the primetime game, and the Chargers' failure of a season so far is now costing them some attention with the national audience, because their 4-8 record definitely bumped their game out of the Sunday night slot. Now, David, this is a big blow for the Chargers, who are trying to get a footing in Los Angeles and really just expand their brand to bring in more fans. And now you don't give the country a chance to see what you can do. Of course, it's against the Vikings, so who knows what that game would look like anyways. But if you know the Chargers, you know even against good teams, they usually show up and at least have a close game against them. Now, one of your 3 primetime games of the season is taken away, and it is solely due to the fact that that's not as interesting of a game when there's no stakes attached to it. So I have no problem with the NFL making this switch. I mean, there's nothing that draws ratings like a game that has stakes attached to it. So I think it is the right decision, but that is a tough break for a Chargers team that's had a ton of them this season.
Yeah, and I mean, going into last year, the Chargers only had the 1 obligatory Thursday night football game for their primetime game. And we were asking ourselves, after a 9-7 season, why did the Chargers only have 1 primetime game? Then they go out, they have a 12-4 record, they win a playoff game against a pretty good Baltimore Ravens team, and then they get 3 primetime games. And you're like, okay, cool, that's the respect that you deserve. But hey, after the way this season has actually unfurled, the Chargers are 4-8, and like you mentioned, losing teams do not draw ratings. It's just as simple as that. At that point in the season, you want to have compelling matchups on. And, you know, going into the season, the NFL said, hey, you know, the Chargers versus the Vikings looks pretty good on paper. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a really good matchup. But, you know, it sucks for the Chargers, who are trying to get their footprint in LA. This is not a good look for that.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, how could it be a positive at this point in the season? And yes, it was one of the games I was most excited for at the beginning of the season. And the Chargers have a chance to go 3-1 against the NFC North with the season that they've had. That's pretty surprising, especially since the one team they lost to was the 3-win Lions. So another tough blow for the Chargers this season, especially as far as trying to get more fans to pay attention to them. But the other news of the day is that Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, addressed the media on Monday and gave the message that he had for his team. And the message was that there's still a lot of work to do. They are not going to sit veterans the rest of the season. They are going to go out there and try to win the rest of the games. And that's a pretty straightforward message for Anthony Lynn, not a guy who is going to make a lot of waves in press conferences, a guy that seemingly always knows what to say. But at what point does that message become hollow, when it becomes the same thing after each game? To me, if you can't get up for a game against the 3-8 Broncos with your season on the line, coming off of a bye week, I'm not sure what words would be able to help this team turn the corner, because it's just so many things for them that have gone wrong. But they have the last quarter of the season And we've talked about before how there's a lot of jobs still on the line this season, especially in the coaching staff and with the players as well. So there's definitely a lot riding on these last four games of the season. But for me, David, it's hard for me to think that the words of Anthony Lynn are going to be what changes this season at all. At a certain point, it's just going to take the Chargers executing in clutch moments for this team to finally get some wins instead of losing games late like they have been all season long.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Lynn has to go out there and say this, though. I mean, it's the right message, I believe, but at which point do these words actually have any meaning after they've lost all of their games in one score fashion in just absolutely devastating ways week after week after week? You have no confidence that the Chargers are going to be able to go out there and show you any different type of product throughout the season. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to have to just go out there and perform better when the lights are on bright, and they just have not been able to do that up to this point. So I think for the rest of this season, it's really going to be more important for individuals, for contract time. Obviously, you know, the Chargers are keeping in mind a draft pick probably at this point. You know, you got to go out there and try to win every single game, if not just to play spoiler.
Of course, and the sentiment amongst the coaching staff has to be win the rest of the games, because there are guys whose jobs are on the line right now, and the players as well. We hoped we get to see some more young players step into some more prominent roles to see what they could do offensively and defensively, because there's still many questions that need to be answered. But at 4-8, realistically, the Chargers at this point are playing for draft position, and the coaching staff can't come out and openly say they want to lose games to get a higher draft pick. But that's what a lot of the fan base is hoping for. With games against the Chiefs and the Vikings still left on their schedule, it looks like they'll have at least two more losses, and it's hard to even have confidence in them against the Jaguars or the Raiders. But we do have two more segments to get into, getting into what went wrong before finishing things out with what went right and trying to end with a silver lining after a really tough game again against the Broncos. But first, I need to tell you guys about a sponsor that's near and dear to my heart, and that is DoorDash. And the reason I say that is because I use DoorDash all the time, so it's really easy for me to do an ad read like this, because I mean, who doesn't want their food delivered to their house? I mean, long day at work, a tough day at school, still stuck at the office. There's really no bad time to use DoorDash and have all of your favorite restaurants delivering to your house, and you don't even have to get in your car, use any gas money. You don't even have to put pants on sometimes. You never know. But DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city, and the ordering is easy. All you have to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's all caps, LOCKEDON, one word. Don't forget, promo code LOCKEDON, $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the segments we do every single week. What went wrong and what went right for the Chargers? This time, it's the latest game against the Broncos, where there's plenty to talk about in both segments. But we're going to start right now with what went wrong, as we always do, so we can at least try to finish the show on a positive note, which gets increasingly harder every single week. But there's plenty of things to get into with what went wrong. But as always, we start with our resident expert, John Kegley, in all things wrong. So, John, what were your takeaways from this game? What are the main things you want to talk about as far as what went wrong for the Chargers?
I love that you call me the what went wrong expert, because I mean, I could talk about how some of the players didn't finish their chicken nuggets at McDonald's before eating the apple pie, and that's why we lost too. But we'll stick to what's happened on the field. How we have a really good running game going and we keep going away from it, or we have a good running back making progress and we use the other one in the wrong situation. So, for example, on the first drive, we run the ball twice and then pass for a first down. It's working. We run the ball again. We get an 8-yard gain. Second and two. What do? We pass it twice instead of continuing to run the ball. Second and two. If you run it again, make it third and one. Now you have the option of run or pass, and they have to be on their heels where it's not predictable. Melvin Gordon had almost 100 yards in this game. He had 5 yards per carry average, and you had a fourth and inches, a third and inches in this game, and you don't run the ball with Melvin Gordon. Third and inches, you ran the ball with Austin Ekeler. Why? He's a small guy, and they're going to have everybody at the line. Use Melvin Gordon. He's got power. He's got size. It's fourth and inches, and the game's on the line. You got nothing to lose. Why didn't we run the ball with Melvin Gordon, take a shot, or even quarterback sneak it? But still, Melvin Gordon up the middle. The running game was working. They couldn't stop it. And instead, we tried to pass more. We went away from it. This team is not consistent.
Yeah, and inconsistency is maybe their main issue this season, because we've seen streaks of them being really good, especially from this defense. I mean, this defense has stretches of dominance, yet they can't figure out how to do it on a consistent basis. And I mean, that is barely even talking at all about the offense, which is the most inconsistent part of this team. One thing that I saw on Twitter that I thought was very interesting going along with your point was at the time when the Chargers had third and inches, where they throw it to Keenan Allen on third and one, and he doesn't get the first down, the Lightning Round podcast on Twitter said that Melvin Gordon at that time of the game had 7 carries for 55 yards in the second half. He was absolutely dicing up the Broncos defense, and you decide not only to not run it with him on third and inches, but then you double down by not running it again on fourth and inches, and you have just the meltdown of trying to have them jump off sides, wasting a bunch of time, not giving an easier field goal attempt to Michael Badgley, which it didn't matter because he nailed it anyways. But you could have had that play be the last play of the game. All you had to do is convert on fourth and inches, and you do that, and you don't let them even have a chance to touch the ball at the end of the game. So that was just
unbelievable.
An all-time meltdown, late game crisis for the Chargers. The whole thing was choppy, as we would expect. I mean, they haven't had a smooth finish to many of the games this season, but that has to absolutely be part of what went wrong in this game. And it's one of the many things that went wrong in this game, but it definitely goes along with the questionable play calling. But let's start early in this game, Dave, and talk about just once again for the second consecutive game against the Broncos, getting down to a 14-0 deficit. The first drive where the Broncos score a touchdown, Cortland Sutton makes a ridiculous catch on third down. That was really the only big play that the Chargers defense gave up besides, the big giant penalty at the end. But then you have the Phillip Rivers interception that leads to a touchdown to make it 14-0. But getting off to these slow starts, getting off to this slow of a start after a bye week, it's just absolutely brutal. And we didn't see them open up the game with a good game plan, and we didn't see them go into halftime and make adjustments and go out of halftime with a good game plan, which we laid out for you guys last week has killed them all season long. Once again, it's two drives that end in punts in the third quarter. But David, the start for this team, I mean, to keep getting behind in these games, Phillip Rivers interception or not, and that leads to the early deficit, but the Chargers always find a way back but can never really get out of the hole they set up for themselves.
I mean, it's really hard, Daniel. 14 points down and in the first quarter. I mean, it's unbelievable how quickly the Chargers put themselves in these deep holes. It's just mind-boggling. It's really hard to try to dig yourself out and try to get a lead. The Chargers have done it, but they haven't been able to finish the job. That's one of the biggest problems for this team all year. And for me, for what went wrong, just more turnovers. It's unbelievable. The Phillip Rivers interception, the muffed punt, you lose the turnover margin again. When you lose the turnover battle, you are going to lose the game 9 times out of 10. The Chargers lost the turnover battle again, and what do you know? They lose again.
Yeah, and that goes into one of my points for what went wrong, but it also shines a spotlight on the Chargers still not being able to get it right with who they're putting back there to return punts. I mean, to see the amount of muff punts we've had this year, I think it was 4, and Desmond King ended up recovering one of them. But just crazy to see that from a position where your main job is to catch the ball. So that absolutely is part of what went wrong. And it also just goes with the Chargers defense getting put in terrible situations by the offense and the special teams in this case. I mean, they gave up starting drives from the Denver 45 on the 55-yard missed field goal by Michael Badgley. He gave up a drive on the 21-yard line of the Chargers after Troy Maine Pope muffs the punt. And they also have Phillip Rivers throwing a bad interception and giving it to the Broncos offense on the 18-yard line. That was 3 of the Broncos' 4 scoring drives, and the other one was a miraculous 38-yard touchdown reception. This defense played well in this game. I mean, there was one really bad moment they got bailed out at the end on 3rd and 12 where they needed to get off the field. Deshaun Hamilton would have had an easy first down had he just held on to the ball over the middle. There was nobody within 10 yards of him, but all of these things, John, I mean, when you're putting your defense in these positions, it's almost impossible to win games when your offense is inconsistent as it is with the Chargers.
Yes, this can lead to the defense being tired because you're getting three and outs, and then the defense is on the field every 2 minutes and not getting a break. It can also lead to the defense not having a chance to adjust to what they're looking at on the sideline. When the defense goes to the sideline, they have these like papers and iPads and stuff that show previous plays, and they talk about what we got to do. Here's what we do to fix this. And the players will be communicating this on the sideline. If you ever look at those camera shots of the players and they're talking and they're using all their hand signals to tell you what we got to do, where we're going to be. If the offense is on the field for a few seconds and then is punting the ball, the defense didn't have a chance to fix that. So now there's another drive where the offense has a chance to ruin your defense. Like the Broncos came out, ran a 14-play drive to get the first touchdown, and the Chargers are three and out and throwing interception. Defense had no chance to adjust to that, and there's another touchdown. It's ridiculous that the offense can't put a drive together, which is why I was saying to run the ball more. It's been working, and it wears down the other team and helps your defense. But we were talking about turnovers. But, David, what about just beating ourselves by missed opportunities? I mean, dropping a punt is a missed opportunity, but missing a field goal that would have gave us the lead. If not, then we could have been talking about the Broncos pass interference call that happened being the game-tying field goal instead of the game-winning field goal. Like, there's missed opportunities by this team. Drop passes, missing third and inches and fourth and inches opportunities. This team misses opportunities, too.
I mean, they miss a ton of opportunities. And when you're talking about missing opportunities, that also includes, you know, having trips in the red zone that end up in field goals, which happened again in this game. I mean, both of the Chargers' touchdowns were over 20 yards. I mean, they were both 30-plus yard gains. They still couldn't score once they get in the red zone, but they covered it up by two bigger plays that ended up getting in for touchdowns. But more times for the Chargers to not score in the red zone, and it just gets hard to watch once they get down there. Phillip Rivers has to execute a little bit better, and we can't talk about what went wrong without having to talk about another head-scratching interception by Phillip Rivers, throwing an interception to a defensive lineman. And it sucks for him because it's like, you actually had a pretty good game. If you would have just not had that interception, this game is looked at totally differently, and you still can't really silence the rumors that you are not going to play quarterback for the Chargers next year. I mean, it's still up in there because of that interception. But David, besides just Phillip Rivers with another puzzling turnover, one thing we always talk about with this offense that correlates to success is the use of Hunter Henry. So when you're talking about especially short yarded situations where the other team's blitzing and trying to stop the run, it's always nice to have a safety valve that catches everything like Hunter Henry. Yet even on a day when the offense picked it up at times, Hunter Henry just has three targets, has two catches for only 10 yards, which is never a good sign for this Chargers offense.
Absolutely right. It's never a good sign when you don't get your 6'5", 260-pound tight end who has glue on his hands, never drops a ball, involved in the game. It's never good for the Chargers offense. There's a couple of guys that help this offense move down the field, a couple of catalysts that extend plays, extend drives: Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, and Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry has to at least get 5 or 6 catches a game for him to get into rhythm. He makes plays. He's always open. I don't understand how you don't get the ball in his hands. He helps the offense exponentially. He has to be a focal point moving forward. There's no excuse for him not to get the ball. They have to fix it.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, Keenan Allen has a pretty big day. Mike Williams has a huge day. I mean, those are obviously going to take away from it, but Hunter Henry is a mismatch, and you can just look at points in this game where the offense got bogged down, and you're just wondering why they're not running a play to specifically try to get Hunter Henry in open space and let him get some yards after the catch and let him move the chains for a first down to get the offense rolling is always puzzling, but we've seen it before. We'll see it again. When Hunter Henry is not involved in the offensive game plan, it doesn't bode well for the Chargers. But we do have one more segment to get into, trying to find a silver lining in a 4-8 season and another tough loss by the Chargers coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into the final segment of the day, getting into what went right. And like a lot of the Chargers games, when you have them so close, there are things that go well for them. And there's a lot to talk about in this game as well that went right for the Chargers. I mean, I would start just by saying, hey, having Derwin James back on the field defensively helps you a lot. Getting those guys, him and Adrian Phillips, back on the field. And Derwin James played well in this game. Obviously, it's his first game back after missing 11 games this season. But I was really excited with what I saw from Derwin James. And I think this defense just has a different energy when Derwin James is out there. And speaking of the defense, you have to tip your hat to the Chargers defense in this game. Because, yes, they got put in some ridiculous situations where they ended up letting the other team score. I mean, after a muffed punt, can't think of many more demoralizing things than to be a defense, get a stop on third down, and then just lose about 50 yards of field position. I mean, that's pretty brutal. But in general, the Chargers held Philip Lindsay to 17 carries for 58 yards. That's only a 3.4 yard per carry average. Royce Freeman did even less, 5 carries for 11 yards. And the Chargers defense played pretty well besides a few plays here and there. There were still some issues getting off the field on third down, David. There were some issues as far as letting the other team score touchdowns and not being able to just make that big play that stops it and really emphasizes that bend but don't break defense. But all in all, for this Chargers defense, there were some guys who had some big games, and it was a good day for the Chargers defense.
Absolutely. It was a great day for the Chargers defense. They held the Denver offense to under 220 yards of total offense. In the second half, they limited Drew Lock to like 20 yards passing. It was unbelievable. And also, I want to shout out Denzel Perryman, who I have been critical of on our Locked On Chargers Twitter account. He got an interception in this game. He made a big play. I mean, a guy who's not known for his coverage ability went out there and made a big play, got an interception, gave the ball back to the offense, and I got to give him credit. Credit where credit is due. He made a great play, and it definitely helped swing some momentum for the Bolts.
It did. Unfortunately, the Chargers, once again, talking about missing opportunities, weren't able to cash in on a Denzel Perryman interception. And yes, he made a really good play. We've seen the Chargers drop many easier interceptions than that, that's for sure. But the defense in this game, I continue to be impressed, and the defense continues to keep the Chargers in these games even after giving up big leads early. I mean, after those 14 points, the Denver offense really didn't do much the rest of the game besides when they got set up in good field position from a missed field goal and things like that. So I thought the Chargers defense has to be the bright spot in this game, getting Derwin James back, getting Adrian Phillips back, who, you know, maybe should have been in better position on that last play, but also has a play where he makes a good open field tackle to stop a guy from getting a first down. And that's something that you missed from this Chargers defense, and specifically Adrian Phillips. But you have to like that. And another guy, John, I know you were a little upset with, was Drew Tranquil, because he got that roughing the kicker penalty on the punt, almost getting his third blocked punt of the season in the process. But he also had 3 tackles for loss in this game. So the Chargers' run defense was so much better than we've seen it at times, especially against the Broncos in this game. And Drew Tranquil making a lot of those opportunities by bringing ball carriers down behind the line of scrimmage, which really just brings up so much more success for your defense when you can set the other team behind the chains like that.
Tranquil made so many big plays, even the ones that were in front of the line of scrimmage that were preventing first downs. And I was impressed by him. Like, besides that whole roughing the punter penalty, he was actually keeping the defense off the field by making third down stops, even in pass coverage. He was having a phenomenal game. And you're right, making those tackles behind the line of scrimmage helps the defense. The Broncos were in a couple of second and 13, second and 15 type of situations that helped us lead to making them punt. There was the one exception of that play we talked about in the last segment where Deshaun Hamilton got wide open and dropped the wide open pass, but that was a third and long. You know, with not for it being third and long, the Broncos could have just ran a quick tight end route or something and got the first down easily, but because of that, they had to throw a more schemable play. The defense getting these third and long, second and long is something we've been asking for all year, and they got it in this game, and it's what got the Broncos offense off the field. Drew Lock was in a zone. He was making his plays. He was dodging defenders in the pocket, getting the ball thrown away when he needed to, but the long third downs were what getting this defense off the field. And I want to also credit Brandon Faison, who, even though he gave up some pass plays, he was in there making tackles as well. When someone would give up a pass play and it wasn't Brandon Faison's fault to give up the play, he was the one making the tackles to prevent it from being a first down. There was some third and inches that were because of him.
Yeah, and I had one very frustrated play with Brandon Faison matched up with a tight end on the outside on third and two, and he gives up a little out route for a first down. But what Brandon Faison brings to you as far as tackling goes is much better than Michael Davis, is much better than Trevor Williams. And you just love a guy that can wants to stick his head in there. So I was going to bring that up as well. The fact that Brandon Faison really isn't a topic and what went wrong is something that went right for Brandon Faison. But I want to talk about a couple of guys who had monster games offensively, with Mike Williams not only having the catch of the year on 4th and 11, one-handed over a defender with guys all over him, but goes 5 catches for 117 yards, which is his best game of his career, at least yardage-wise, and just making play after play for the Bolts. And also, David, Melvin Gordon, who again is successful on the ground. He looked decisive. He was running hard. He wasn't chopping his feet and taking 2-yard losses. He was making the most out of bad opportunities, and he was making the most out of good opportunities and breaking off 6- and 7-yard runs, 9-yard runs. Melvin Gordon looked good, and Mike Williams had maybe the best game of his career.
Oh, man. When the Chargers needed a big play, they went to Mike Williams, and Mike Williams rewarded that faith with, like you said, 5 receptions for 117 yards, and get this, a 23.4 average. Wow, that is awesome. That's crazy. But, and yeah, Melvin Gordon, I mean, like John said, I think that Melvin Gordon should have got even more carries than the 20 that he received. I mean, he was running the ball very, very well. Melvin Gordon looks really good. I mean, these last several games in a row, he's really put good performance after good performance after good performance back to back to back. And he, I mean, if he continues to run like this, I mean, the Chargers might want to look into possibly trying to bring him back. I mean, he's been a very productive player for them. And man, also just going back to Mike Williams, I mean, what a catch. And I really hope to see this guy get in the end zone. I mean, he might hit 1,000 yards receiving with no touchdowns, Daniel.
Yeah, he might pass Keenan Allen for the team lead in receiving yards. That's how explosive this game was and where it kind of puts him in the season totals. Mike Williams, I think this just has to be a huge win for the Chargers as far as justifying that draft pick. He needs a hot end to the season, and he's a guy that's coming back next year and for the next 2 years, more than likely, unlike Melvin Gordon. So that's the more exciting of the two. And just to see him put a more consistent game together where he's just coming up with these ridiculous contested catches. I think his first catch was 5 yards. That means the next 4 catches went for 112. I mean, that just big play after big play for Mike Williams.
And all this on a bad knee, too. I mean, he hurt his knee earlier in the season, and he's fought the entire season with that knee injury, and he's still putting numbers up.
And that's the part I was going to get to next, is just how much that has to mean to that team to see him on a 4-7 team continue to go out there and not only just battle knee injuries week to week, but in the game where you can tell the discomfort that he's going through. And injuries have been really the only thing that has slowed Mike Williams down outside of, you know, some drops here or there. But he has been banged up consistently in his career, unfortunately. But in this game, to show the grit that he had and the resolve to be the Chargers' best wide receiver in this game, even fighting through that and just coming up with those big plays. That 4th and 11 play is, I mean, in nomination for one of the best plays of the season, although it obviously ends not the way you would like it. But huge game for Mike Williams, and you just have to love to see that from a former top 10 pick. The one thing I do want to end this with is talking about Phillip Rivers, because yes, we talked about what went wrong with the interception in this game, but I thought this was a huge game for Phillip Rivers to bounce back and have the game that he had, because I mean, Phillip Rivers puts up, you know, 260 plus yards passing, 2 touchdowns after the interception that he had. I mean, we've seen so many games, John, where one early interception kind of leads Phillip Rivers into making a lot of questionable decisions. But they're on the radio broadcast, they were saying, hey, don't be surprised if you see Tyrod Taylor come in after the Chargers' third drive where a ball gets tipped in the air and almost intercepted after the other interception. It ends up being a roughing the punter on the Broncos that ends up giving the drive a little bit more life and lets Phillip Rivers actually do something on the drive. But for Phillip Rivers to bounce back as he did in this game, cut down on the costly throws, I mean, there wasn't a lot of really questionable decisions outside of the interception by Phillip in this game, but to see him, you know, battle back from that first interception and put up the best game he's had against the AFC West in the last at least 4 games that he's played against the AFC West, that has to be considered a positive note in my mind.
You can call it a positive note. I mean, he did bounce back pretty well from what he did the past couple of games and that early interception. He did also complete 29 passes, so not a lot of incompletions either. he moved the ball pretty well in this game, but I would also say that Rivers didn't really do the best pocket presence in this game, though.
He definitely ate a couple of sacks. I will give you that. But as far as, I mean, you can't have him making those terrible decisions or having as many 50-50 balls. And at least, I mean, that's all we really need out of Phillip Rivers, right, is just to cut down those questionable calls. We'll take 20 out of 29 with two touchdowns every week because that's all it really takes.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, he ate a couple of sacks. He didn't really have the best pocket presence. But if he had, just imagine what that number could have really been, because there was some wide open routes that were left on the table because Rivers didn't step out of the pocket or something. So as good as his game was, it could have been much better. So his game was actually a lot better than people are going to say, because they're all going to look at that interception on the screenplay, which was Rivers looking the play off and then throwing it to the left really quick. He didn't even look to see if that defensive end was there, because it's a timing route. The screenplay is a timing route. You have to wait a couple of seconds and then throw it and hurry up and get everybody in motion and get your guy into the flat. So I can't even really blame Rivers as far as making a bad decision, as far as just not understanding where everybody was on the defense. But the way he led the team back, moving the ball down the field, that really good jump ball throw to Mike Williams, he led the team back, and Michael Badgley missed that field goal, which could have gave us the lead. So Rivers actually kind of led us back to a lead almost. He almost led us back despite the bad start. This is the Phillip Rivers we know. This is why I have a hard time blaming Phillip Rivers for a lot of the season, because he still pulls this kind of stuff out every game. I don't think you can blame Rivers for this game at all. And to even give more credit to this, Rivers made a really good audible at some point in the second quarter that involved switching. I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive that was going to be a passing play on one of the third down plays. And he turned it into a run, and Melvin Gordon just went straight through the line and picked up, I think, like 13 yards. And it was a really beautiful run.
Yeah, and those are the things that Phillip Rivers is always going to bring to the table. But after the past couple of games he had, it's hard to see this as anything but a positive from Phillip Rivers. And he was a reason that they came back to potentially have a chance to win this game, and they didn't get it done. But in this game, it's not on Rivers. And it was nice to see him be able to tone it down a little bit while still being able to create some big plays for the Chargers offensively, and that's really all you can ask for. And if you can get that out of him every game, I mean, obviously the one interception is bad, but you will take that on most weeks. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Tomorrow is Wednesday, so that means it's Crossover Wednesday. So we're going to be getting with the Locked On Jags podcast to talk about this weekend's game against the Jaguars. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On LAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, so you can always find the show whenever we post it. And also subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. That's always the easiest way to get it. It should automatically open up on your phone, so that's the best way to do it. But if you guys want to get your voices on the show like we did yesterday, make sure to call into 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. And we already have four this week. So if you guys get one in, we might be able to sneak in one more this week, but four more to get to later on in the week. And the next one could be you. So until next time, guys, we'll be back with you tomorrow for Crossover Wednesday. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.